We have done our very best in letting you hear from us. Now we desire to hear from you. Give us a hearing ear, a listening ear, and we will do it. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Give an honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who certainly, without him, I would truly be six cans short of a six pack. I would absolutely be nothing. But I thank God for the day that he saved me back in October of 1970. Man, what a day. When my elder brother, who was once just totally out there, got saved first, and then he sat myself and my sister down and told us about Jesus. And I hardly ever saw my brother cry before, and he just began to weep almost uncontrollably as he was telling us we were on our way to hell. It wasn't in a judgmental way, but in a loving way, but Jesus wanted to save us. And man, my sister got so frightened by the fact that he just started crying and speaking in tongues and stuff, and she got up and ran. I couldn't move. I felt the Spirit of God tell me if I didn't get saved right then and there, I would never have another chance in life. Man, and out of fear, I bowed my head as quick as I possibly could and said, Jesus, save me.
Come on, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Glory be to God.
Amen.
And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It wasn't about titles and positions and anything else other than the fact that, man, my sins are forgiven. And for that, we can thank him throughout eternity. His presence is here. Where there are two or more gathered together in his name, he's promised to be in our midst. And that's why we honor him, we glorify him. No matter what the situation or the circumstances, Jesus is still Lord.
Amen.
He's still Lord. I want to certainly give extreme honor to my very good friend in the gospel, Amen. The Reverend Dr. Bishop, Archbishop, Pope, Pontiff, Prelate, His Royal Majesty, Doug Carpenter. Let's put our hands together for our man of God, Pastor Carpenter. Amen. I honor you, man. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's certainly been a dear friend down through the years. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for Pastor Carpenter and for his dear wife. Listen, I mean, this is a thoroughfare for me, coming past 51st and Locust. And each time I come by, I just breathe a prayer. Lord, bless Doug, bless Felice. I mean, bless the children. I start praying for the church. The church family. I said, Lord, keep the roof intact. Make the utilities affordable. I mean, and by the time I'm, listen, the prayer gets so good, sometimes I'm saying, Lord, do that for Abiding Truth Ministries too. I mean, you know, we ought to just pray for one another and be a help to one another. God bless you, Pastor Sanctuary. Let's put our hands together and welcome our awesome brother. God bless you. Amen. And any other ministers that are present, God bless you. We're all co-laborers in Christ.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, what a difference. Give me a second. Just look at each other, do something, say something while I get some water. This is gin. It's for my stomach's sake and my very often infirmity. Oh, my, my, my. Man, that food downstairs was some kind of good. I've already informed the sister. I said, Pastor Carpenter said it's okay for you guys to come over to a Abiding Truth Ministries and stay. Amen, amen. Listen, this is it's a good day. Anytime brothers can get together, man, it's just special because, you know, oftentimes the sisters outnumber us,
well,
you know, and sometimes they outperform us,
well,
if the truth be told. And listen, I talked to a number of sisters, not just from our church, but different saved sisters I knew from other churches. And I said, if you had an opportunity to stand before a group of Black Christian men, what would you say? Oh, my Lord, how much time do I got? Well, you know, they're not invited to a time when it's just the men. But I begin to listen and just kind of take a compilation of what each of them were saying. And some were very hard-hitting, some were quite poignant, some were, they were all brutally honest as to what they would love to say to us if we could invite them into our presence. Well, I put together a PowerPoint that kind of represents what they may say, what they have said, and some of those things like that. He still can't figure out how to cut it off. No problem. What I've done, see, I already told President Obama, do not call me in between 8.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why I ain't going to go off, because he respects that. And we were trying to listen and see, was it Christian music? Was it Power 99? You know, we were listening. I don't know. I thought I heard two pumps and a bump. I don't know. I couldn't hear. But can you guys in the back, can you see this up here? Can you hear me clearly? If you can't hear me, raise your hands. Usually get at least one person to raise their hand. And so this very short PowerPoint will speak to us on behalf of some of the women and on behalf of some of the things that we might even see and say about ourselves. All right? And look at your neighbor and say, don't get mad.
Don't get mad.
If you find yourself in here. All right. So let's take a look, see. For men only. We don't have any women here, do we? All right. All men? I mean, men. Okay, all right. I'm just checking. I'm just wanted to make sure I'm in the right place. All right. This is for men only, and that's why we get that applause, all right? Why? According to some sisters, because they're almost... Oh. They say this is for men only because sometimes they consider us as being almost dead. Whether we're in church, we can say we're saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. They say we're saved, sanctified, full of something else. They said we're almost dead, and we need the defibrillators to bring us back. So what would revive them? Nothing would revive a Christian man more than KFC. And you know the KFC I'm talking about. Legs, thighs, and oh yeah, breasts. Because it seems like the brothers have more get up and go when they are chasing the skirt. Even in church, sometimes we come to the right place for the wrong reason. Sometimes we come and we're kind of like scouting some of the sisters out, trying to get the digits after the service. Listen, you know, because eyes are designed to follow stuff that moves. And sometimes while brothers in church and the sisters are praising the Lord... We can hardly wait to get some legs, thighs, and breath. Hallelujah. Hey, what's the difference between men and government binds? The women say. Government binds eventually mature. For example, how many men does it take to lower the toilet seat? You know, that's always a big thing for women. Said nobody knows. Hasn't happened yet. Sometimes they're pretty hard on us, and sometimes it is the truth. The problem is, as Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. We want the truth, but we can't handle it sometimes. So what do some men bring to the relationship? Because, you know, a lot of times the sisters, man, they got it together. What is it that some men, not all men, this is not indicative of all, but a lot. What do some men bring to the relationship? little. Because a lot of times they have the job, they have the business, they have the car, they have the house, they got it going on. And this is not a scripture, but I bet you can finish quoting this. First sister, second chapter, third verse. I can do bad all. Yeah. Because we come into the equation because we think we have that anatomical protrusion south of the belly button, and that makes us a man. That just makes us a male, incidental to birth. Right? How are men and parking spots alike? Anybody know the answer to this? How are men in parking spots alike? The goat wasn't taken, the other was gone. And we'll be all up in some sister's face. Yeah. How about sex? We love to talk about sex, don't we? Oh, don't get quiet now. Something you chase all your life. How about sex? How can you tell if a man is sexually excited? Listen, if the sisters were here, they would tell you in person. But this is how so many of them feel, even in the church. They feel as though that, you know, half the time the brothers are just trying to talk to me, you know, because they don't see us at prayer.
Wow. Watch it.
They don't see us in the vast majority of the ministries in the church as far as being head.
Come on.
Okay, don't be getting mad at me. You don't know what I got up here. Why do some men like masturbation? It sucks with someone they love. Because some sisters, I mean, I'm talking about wives now, feel as though that, you know, the man is just in it for himself. Can't get an amen out of all the man in here. Why does it take 1 million sperm to fertilize the egg? You know, they're always accusing us because they don't stop and ask for directions. A million of them. Why do men have a hole at the end of their penis? Listen, we can talk this way among all men. We can be honest. What are some men's idea of safe sex? A padded head. Hey, husband says, want a quickie? Wife says, as opposed to what? Because let's face it, it takes our wives, I ain't say nothing about no girlfriends, our wives, it takes them longer for them to reach their point. But our tendency is hit it and quit it. I'm a 30-second wonder. And if it takes them 5 minutes of cuddling, caressing, foreplay, half the time they're not fulfilled. Why do some men name their penis? They want to be on a first-name basis with the one who makes most of their decisions. That's why this is for men only. Why are husbands smarter doing sex with their wives? Because they're plugged into a genius. You're going to get that on your way home. What would make a man think of a candlelight dinner? He looks stupid, don't he? That's a real easy one. A power outage because he didn't pay his electric bill. Hey, brothers, want to help to stop watching those beach bikinis? Anybody, you know, go to the beach during the summertime? Yeah, I mean, married, I don't care what. Or sometimes you act like you ain't looking, right? You can pray all you want. This might help you. That'll deliver you real quick. What do women call a man with half a brain? Gifted. They kind of hard on them. We got a hard on them. You get that? Why are men like laxatives? Sisters say they irritate the crap out of me. Oh my! You want me to stop here?
No.
A few more. My angels are going to stop it now, right? What do women do with a guy who think they are God's gift to women? Because I mean, even if we're not muscle bound, sometimes the men walk around knowing that there's a severe shortage. What do women think about it? Man, they'll trade us in for some pocketbooks and some shoes and some dresses in a heartbeat. And nothing worse than you thought you had it going on. She's talking about, we weren't going together. She got all your money. You didn't get any honey. Hallelujah. Hey, what's the best man for the job? They say, that's easy. That's easy, a woman. And you know what? As hard-hitting as this is, you can take a relatively unscientific survey in most of our churches, list every department, every ministry, every auxiliary, and find out, where are the heads? Who are the heads of most of the departments in our church?
Thank you.
It gives you a real good idea of why women feel, not all women, but some. They say, not really, you men are the best men for the job, and we applaud you. I had to make this keep looping. Thank you for allowing us a moment to express to you what many of us say to one another all the time. We truly want our men to catch up, stay up, and take the lead. In humor and in love, the women, or at least some of us. So they say, can we give our men another chance? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Time to move from the fallen Adam to the risen Christ. Amen. First Corinthians 15. We had it read just a few moments ago. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, certainly that applies to male and female in Christ. But our emphasis, not just today, but for time and time to come, are on men. In order for us to get to the place where God has called us, to get to the place where we ought to be, to get to the place and stay there. Now, you know, as well as I know that we have had some horrendous things that happened to us down through the line of time. Slavery being one of the most significant things that really gave us quite a blow. During a time when the master would allow us to make a baby, but would disallow us from raising that child. Sometimes the father would be sold off. And surely you must know that chitterlings are not the only thing that have transcended time since slavery. And no wonder so many of us as men will still impregnate, plant that seed, and move on to another plantation. And sometimes the only way we are forced to really become half the man we're supposed to be is when the system in their long hand catches up with you, and it's called child support. Even though we can be in church, saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, got a mind to run on and all that other kind of stuff, and still won't accept our responsibilities as men. So what happens is we get to the place where we get very comfortable with our women taking the lead. And it's kind of a distorted picture, because many women, they're not designed this way. And down in South Philly, I used to swing with a couple of sisters that were tough, that even I didn't want to fight. So they're good to have when we were gang worn. But in church, it's like at a certain point in time, we need to take an honest assessment to say, where am I? Not just we as a collective, but individually, where am I with respect to church? Where am I with respect to my home, with respect to the community? Because how we are and how we should become, it can be measured. We remove all the mysticism and all the spiritual hype, and we just put it down to nuts and bolts, and we measure ourselves with the sum total of what we do all the time. Show me somebody that goes to work and goes to the casino and goes to the bar. That's who they are. Because we're measured by the fruit that we bear, not what our intentions may be, but really what happens at the end of the day, consistently, time and time and time again. So even on a gathering like this, we have some humor, we have some hard-hitting truth, but then we have to take it and say, okay, if some things apply, I have to make it apply. I have to use this as a time for me to really have some real introspection, some real reflection of who I am, so I can see where I ought to be. And how do I get to that place? Well, if we look at Adam as a living soul, he was complete. I mean, God had done his very best, which has got to be the best that there can possibly be. He scoops down, he picks up some dirt, he begins to form something that looked like him. So now Adam is there, but he's not animated. So now God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, the Hebrew word ruah, which now is that spirit that gives us life. So then Adam became a living soul. And Adam really had it going on, because God gave him a job. He gave him a place to live. He gave him directors. But it got to the place where God said it's not good that the man should be alone, because every animal, every creature had something. Mr. Elephant had Miss Elephant. Mr. Roach had Miss Roach. Mr. Monkey had Miss Monkey. And I don't think Adam was probably talking about, man, check out the hips on that hippopotamus, I know some folks might be in the bestiality, but hey, we're sanctified now, all right? So God says, I'm going to make something just right for Adam. So he makes Eve, and we have to keep on insisting on the fact that the institution of marriage is a man and a woman. I don't care what anybody says, it's a man and a woman. Not two men, not two women. I mean, I used to teach computers down at 13th and Locust in that area. And I'm at the light one day, and two guys go walking by, trying to get my eye. I rolled my window down, and I said, you are two of the ugliest faggots I've ever seen in my life. It may not have changed them, but it brought back that man's voice. Mind your business. This is my business. I'm just going to watch the erosion of a society. Yeah. Don't run up on, you don't know what's under my car seat. But you understand, so at some point in time, there has to be some legitimate change that happens in our life. So with this first Adam, he has Eve. Now, all they have to do is just simply keep repeating, parroting, echoing what God says. Leave that tree alone. It's a simple thing. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of that tree in the midst, just leave it alone. So now the devil comes along, energizing the serpent, and he's beguiling Eve. Here's the stupid part about it. Where's Adam?
My Lord, right there.
So Somebody's talking to his woman. Listen, listen, girl, you know, listen, listen. What did God say? Well, he said that, you know, we ain't supposed to. Yeah. Listen, God knows that the day that you eat of this, you're going to be, wow, you're going to be just like him. Come on, girl, get some of this stuff. Let me break you off a little something, something. Here's Adam. Because the scripture says that the woman did take of the fruit and ate and gave it to her husband also with her. So dumb Adam is standing there watching this whole thing unfold. Content with being in the recess. Rather than, you know, the brother supposed to say, hey, you got something to say to my woman? You said it to me. Get back here, baby. I got this. I got this. I will bust a spiritual cap in you. I will bind you in Jesus' name. I mean, really, because, but doesn't that seemingly play itself out in church today?
Come on now.
Our sisters in the forefront, calling the shots, doing stuff. Thank God. Listen, thank God for them because, amen. Listen, if they decide not to come to church tomorrow, whew, it's going to be chilly. Be wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, all by ourselves. So now they partake, and now fallen Adam begins. He's now messed up because he did not take the forefront. He didn't insist on what God said. Because listen, a touch of heaven on earth weighed in the balancing act of the tongue's ability to simply just repeat what God said. I don't care how many times the opposition comes. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. I'll be like a broken record. But I'm going to maintain what God has given. So now they're messed up, which necessitates another Adam that has to come and recapture what we forfeited, what we just willingly gave away. How many things do we just willingly give away when all the while the Lord is still saying, Adam, where are you? Adam was hiding because he sinned. For the first time, their eyes were open. I mean, they saw one another before, but, you know, whoa! I mean, when their eyes was open, I mean... He was fighting them up. Because, you know, Adam was probably black, you know. I mean if you're going to make something out of dirt, you're going to get the richest topsoil you can find. So he's probably well endowed. No, no. Bring it in, boys. No, no, no. You need help. They say if you have an erection after four hours, call your doctor. Okay, all right. but you understand, so now stuff have changed. And then when we fast forward and we come into slavery, our folks, you know, we have the same situation repeating itself. Where the master don't mind you making babies. Don't mind you moving on because that's a part of the legacy that has been bequeathed us. In fact, you know, the government at one point was a part in it. It would give the woman an incentive to get you out the house. Because if I can get more babies and get you out the house, I'll make more money. That's how it worked. And we were content to plant our seed and move on. And then we got saved. And now, rather than reaching back to our responsibilities, we just tend to think, well, I'm just going to move on. No, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, old mindsets, old ideologies, old precepts, that stuff has to be done away with where now new things will come. So we have to be like Jeremiah. We have to do four destructive things before we do two constructive things. You got to root out and pull down and throw down and destroy. Then you build and plant. So we got to go back to those old vestments of our mind and all that preconceived notions and all that stuff and say, you know what? The way I think is not right. I mean, if I could be honest, I'm toe up from the flow up. I need a checkup from the neck up. So I'm going to slow down long enough. I just don't want to pick up on a new jargon. I just want to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm jerking all that kind of stuff. I want to be a real man. I want folks to look and say, that's a real man there. We learned as young boys that what makes a man is when you accept your responsibilities. And when you accept them well and you do it on a consistent basis, that's what makes us men. Not just that anatomical protrusion south of the belly button. Some of us think our sexual prowess is the thing that just makes us a man. Man, you know, we start boasting how many women we had and all this kind of stuff. That ain't nothing to be proud of. That's a shameful thing. That's something that we should, listen, it's covered by the blood. Thank God. Listen, there are some things I have never testified to in public in the 42 years I've been saved. It's under the blood. I'm too ashamed to even talk about some things. Thank God for Jesus. Listen, that's why my salvation seemed just as new and during praise and worship. Man, listen, I was enjoying the presence of the Lord because, listen, every time we come into his house, it's time to worship him and glorify him and magnify him. Put all of our stuff aside like it don't even exist. So, man, the old Adam and the new Adam, invariably we're going to be one or the other. In the middle ground. Can't be both. It's going to be the old or the new. Now, the old Adam was a living soul. The new Adam, through Jesus, is a quickening spirit. Yes. And there's a huge difference because if I'm just living like the old Adam, my mind will suggest to me I can still do anything and everything I'm big enough to do as long as you don't know it. And we carry ourselves in such a way as if God can't see. I mean, where can we go and God is not there? Where can we run and hide? He's everywhere, but he's still calling for us. But what has happened is when sin came into the picture, the first thing that they realized they were naked, they closed themselves, self-righteousness, and they begin to hide. God comes along, walking in the cool of the day, as normal, time for fellowship, and they're hiding. He says, Adam, where are you? I don't know, Lord. I hid myself. What's going on? Well, time to be a man. Time to man up. Rather than doing that, well, the woman you gave me, I ain't asked for her. I was happy just you and me. You see, he had an opportunity to just simply say, I messed up. But rather than doing that, he passed it to his wife. Come on now. Eve, what have you done? Sin separates us from God. It makes us unworthy. It makes us unclean. So no wonder when he comes around or when the people of God come around, we don't want to be in that environment. You know, we don't want to be in the environment to where we really begin to talk about the Spirit of God and bring him to it, because now our sin might show up. Who we really are. Now, again, if we let the sisters come in right now and say, okay, well, just take the next 5 minutes and say a few things, they might blast us. Some are going to be commended, but you understand, by and large, they're going to just simply say, Adam, where are you?
Well, I
was tired, so I couldn't make it. Adam, where are you? Adam, are you over the hospitality ministry?
Well.
Adam, are you over the maintenance ministry? Adam, are you over Adam, where are you? Are you over the follow-up? Adam, are you over audio video? Adam!
And we're busy saying, man, I ain't trying to be no quickening spirit. I'd rather just be a living soul. I still look like him. I'm still made in his image and after his likeness. I still know church. At least I showed up. But God is saying, I'm looking for more than just a show up.
Amen.
I need some folks to come to the foreground and lead.
Well.
But it gets to the place where because we have been programmed on being passive, programmed on getting in the background. My background, when I used to work at the phone company before I left, was a computer program. And I programmed in about 5 different languages. There were programs I put together years ago. If I go to that computer, it's still doing the exact same thing that I programmed to do 20 plus years ago. The same thing has happened with us. We've been programmed. Let our women take the lead. We've been programmed. Let my wife pray. We've been programmed. Let her go to the community meetings. We've been programmed. on just not supporting, not being there, not taking the foreground. We've been programmed. The only thing that changes the program is maybe if a virus comes along or something like that. But other than that, the programming remains the same unless I want change. And when we want to become a quickening spirit like unto our Lord, we have to really want it. I mean, it has to be the same type of situation that the four lepers in the Old Testament experienced. Remember when Syria had besieged Samaria, where the Jews were, Israel. And they had a lockdown. I mean, they had this whole situation to where it was a great famine in the land. And these four lepers already had a death sentence because leprosy ain't something you can just go down and get a little penicillin. Like back in the day, you know. Well, if you had AIDS, you know, back then you're going to die anyway, even today. But if you just had herpes simplex 10. You know, you take a couple of pills and you're good to go. Leprosy, there's no cure. If they don't get a miracle, they got a death sentence already. So here these four lepers are sitting among themselves. In order for us to become this quickening Adam, this quickening spirit, the second Adam, likened unto Christ, in order for us to really experience a resurrection, we need exactly what those four lepers had. The first thing they had was desire. We are always empowered to do what we really desire to do. The power just comes. You remember, listen, remember years ago at those house parties? Man, I mean, it could be dimly lit, but you saw what you were looking for. My. Through the crowd, through the darkness, you saw what looked like an old Coca bottle shaped, Lord have mercy, she's a brick. House. And you just, the desire empowered you to just find your way across the room, and next thing you know, I mean, you right there. Then they turn the lights up, like, Lord have mercy, look like a Murgatroyd. Never mind. Remember, we used to say, just put a bag over her head. You ain't right. Your desire is what motivated you. Your desire is what brought the ideas of how to accomplish something, how to seize the moment. You need a desire. You would have to have a burning desire to be radically transformed to the point where now you're catapulted to the forefront position. Radically transformed to the place where, man, I know I've been changed. I'm not just satisfied with the fact that I go to church. I'm not just satisfied with I just do a little bit. I need to be 1,000,000,000% committed to the things of God. I need to be at a place where the women know that they can count on me. I need to be at a place where my children can rely on me. I need to be at a place where my community will look up to me. I need to be at a place where the pastor can count on me and count me. So they sat among themselves, the four lepers, and they just, man, you know, we got leprosy. If we sit here, we're going to die. Well, why do you think they call this pew? Because some of us sit so long. You ain't talking, man. We're like Lazarus. By now, it stinketh.
My God.
If we can just be brutally honest. In a setting like this, we need to be the better for coming.
Amen.
Listen, we can have a meal at home. But when we come in a gathering like this, it's like, Lord, what is it that I need to hear?
Come on now.
Give me what I need to receive so it can change me for the better.
Amen.
So they sat around among themselves and they began to talk. The fact that they had a desire to live is what fueled them to live. Now, I mean, they're exploring their options. Well, you know, if we sit here, we know we're going to die because we have leprosy. If we sit here, we know we're going to die because there's no food. The Syrians have already cut us off. They're the cause of this great famine. Every desire can give birth to direction. When you have a desire to be all the man that God has called us to be. When you have that burning, I mean, it's something that in the morning you think about it, you pray about it, you're asking God, you're seeking him. It's always amazing to me how the average Christian men don't have a clue what they're called to do. Don't have a clue what their giftings are. Don't have a clue what their anointing is on their life, but they can always tell you who they're supposed to marry. You know, I would rather tell the sisters, listen, it's not a scripture, but when Adam comes up to you and Adam don't have a job, just look at him and say, NP. What's NP? Nigga, please. Because before God put Adam and Eve together, he gave Adam a job. Keep the garden, dress it. He had somewhere to take Eve. Eden. So listen, and I'm not just talking about a secular job, that the women need to be at a place where they're really scrutinizing some of us. Let me see what your spiritual job is. Let me talk to your pastor if they're not at the same church. Let me see how committed you are. Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? Let me see whether or not you're really serving. If not, then you need to come up a little bit higher. Because after the charm wears off, she's going to be stuck with a character. I want to see what makes you tick. I see where your mind is. If you put your tongue back in your mouth, we can talk a little bit. We need a job. Something that I am doing for the Lord that can be measured. And it's got to be more than the fact, well, I showed up, you ought to be satisfied. No, I showed up, I'm reporting for duty. Anything else you want me to do, Pastor? This is how it can be measured. As opposed to, I need to get something done, and the sisters just flock around. They just make themselves available, as if we can't do the same thing. We're just as capable. But we have, something has to happen up here. The desire. So as they sat and talked, they said, man, let's not just sit here and just die. That desire gave them direction. The direction was, well, by a process of deductive reasoning, let's go to where there is food. Well, where's there's food? In the camp of the enemy. They are the ones that caused the problem. It doesn't make logical sense to go to the very ones that caused the problem. But when you have a desire to live and a desire to serve and a desire to please God, you will go to any length. Because I've got news for you. Many times the Lord will put you in the most precarious situations. I've made you sheep in the midst of wolves. He'll encourage you to go into the midst of the sea. When you get halfway there, he'll speak to the waters. He'll blow. And now your ship will be topsy-turvy to see if you'll go forward in faith or whether you'll retreat in fear. They said, let's go to Syria. Their desire to live gave them direction. Well, when did they go? Instantly. Desire gives birth to direction. Direction gives birth to a drive. You can't just take your time, because the Bible says they arose in the twilight. There's two twilights. This particular twilight was when it was dark outside. I mean, really dark. They had a desire to live, which we can equate to our desire to serve God at a higher capacity than where we are. That desire gave them ideas. Well, process of elimination, if we stay here, we'll die. You know, we have leprosy, we're certainly death, but let's go somewhere. And the fact that they decided to go, they did it immediately. They rose in the twilight. Everything in life is based on timing. So now, when they rose in the twilight, unbeknown to them, God is working in their favor behind the scenes. He's only waiting for you and I to step up to the plate. He's only waiting for you and I to just declare, you know, listen, the buck stops here. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of bringing up the rear. I'm tired of being in the back. I'm tired of being unreliable. I'm tired of being inconsistent. I'm going to do something starting today. I want to rewrite the PowerPoint. I want to change the answers. They rose up in the twilight. And they went into Syria, not knowing what's going to happen. The enemy is there. But they dared to brave the opposition. I mean, how many times, you know, are we still in the house and they're still shooting outside? Because we think wrong. Here's how we think. We have a plane to catch. Plane is at 1 o'clock. We get there at 1:05, the plane is gone. We're late. Then all of a sudden, while you're there, you see the plane explode in midair. Here's how we think. Man, I'm so glad I was late. Man, I would have been on that plane. Maybe you should have been on that plane. So it wouldn't have happened. Paul said, men and brethren, you got to remain in the ship to be saved. Not that the ship was anything of a miracle. Paul just realized, I'm on my way to stand before the Caesar. I'm on my way to Rome. My time is not yet. If you are that close to me, you're going to be saved. So the Lord is looking for an elite SWAT team. When there was a proliferation of bank robberies back in the day, they begin to make a SWAT team, special weapons and tactics, that go beyond what the normal police training was. So they can foil some of the crimes while I was in the making. But they had special weapons and tactics. What makes you think that God is not trying to raise up a SWAT team among his men? Whereas the SWAT might stand for speaking with angelic tongues, because the war is in the heavenlies. When you want to take out the enemy, you launch that air attack, you take out strategic places, then you send the ground troops in. That SWAT could be salvation wherever ambassadors tread. But we need to be there to stop some of the stuff. We need to see our face on some of their shoulders out on the street. Now, the women might do it. They may, they'll even stop some fights. But Adam, you come on back in here, honey. I wish it weren't true. But then when we come into church, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound my heart. Glory to God. We go outside after a powerful revival. And we see about six guys walking up Locust from 52nd. We got to walk halfway up that way to get to our car. We are nervous wreck. We didn't wet ourselves. What happened to the greatest he that is in me than he that is in the world? We see somebody that's just out their mind. They could be demon-possessed, or they could just have some other psychological problem. They're walking down the street. They're swinging. They're talking to each other. We'll cross over to the other side. As if we don't have more power in us. We've been programmed on. We think wrong. If I think wrong, we'll act wrong. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Man, them boys had a desire to live. They had direction. We're going to the Syrian camp. They got up in the twilight. And the moment they got up in the twilight, the Bible says how the Syrians fled the camp in the twilight because God allowed them to hear the noise of horses and an army. And they just sort of said, oh my goodness, they didn't hide the Egyptians. And they got them Negroes from North Philly. We better get out of here. It wasn't South Philly, I can say that. We too cool for that. Isn't that amazing? None of that would have happened had they not had a desire to live and just sat among themselves and just simply said, man, we got to do something. I'm sick and tired of all this mess, man. And I mean, hey, look, we thank God for our sisters, man. But you know, we got to give them a rest because they're not designed for this. They're like a single engine plane where they burn up and they burn out because they carry a double load. So you know what? We got to do something, man. Well, you know, we can't do that. We can do this. The desire creates that direction. Rather, while we look around and say, you know, sis, I got that. Listen, chivalry isn't dead. We should still open the car for our sisters. If we see them carrying something, I got that. I mean, don't wait till they're halfway there. You're waiting for them to bend over. I mean, it's like, you know, hey. And they would love to take a break. They would love to just, okay, you got this, but they ain't trying to give no reins over to a nincompoop.
Come on, I'm the man right here. Let me do the finances.
Come on.
Weren't you just bankrupt the last 10 years?
Yeah, but
I mean, they want to see some semblance of sanity. They want to know that you read your Bible. I mean, this is how we can measure who we are. Do I read this word on a daily basis? Do I love God with a passion? Do I study His word? Reading is easy and compassionate, but do I study? What's the last thing I studied over the last 6 months? Do I know what the Lord says? Because we are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. I don't care what the subject matter is. We're supposed to bring the mind of God to the subject. If we talk about abortion, let me tell you what God thinks about it. If we talk about gas, let me tell you what God thinks about it. No matter what, we're supposed to be the ambassadors, the official representatives of the kingdom of God, not somewhere playing around.
Hallelujah.
And every place we leave open, somebody fills it in. We can't get mad with the Muslims. We can't get mad with Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, well, listen, they will work the streets.
Yes, they will.
What are we going to do? We got to get back to the basics. How was it when I first got saved? Oh, Lord, I was just so in love with you. Oh, my goodness. I just couldn't wait. I mean, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, your name is to be praised. I would sing the songs of Zion. I would just worship you all the day long. I couldn't wait to share my faith with my coworkers, with my classmates, with my school. I couldn't wait to serve you. Oh, God, all you had to do was just whisper a directive in my ear. I heard you, Lord, and I obeyed. And all of a sudden, something happened. We left our first love. Remember how the Lord used to just, he would just whisper something, you would do, and now you got the, hey, 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 hey! What? It's how we act toward him.
Come on now.
And sometimes we just, like, ignore him altogether until we come to church and we put our face on. Let me get my extra spiritual jacket, because this sister, I got my eyes on her. I got to make her think I got this thing together. You can tell a guy ain't really together because even the way he say, praise the Lord, yeah, praise the Lord. You don't hear relationship with the Heavenly Father. You just hear, it's just some slick. Nubian. But how about it? The quickening comes from God. The quickening that the Bible speaks of is the kind that make you alive for His purpose. Amen. The kind that make you vibrant, revived, rejuvenated, resuscitated for His purpose. When He breathes into our nostril, it's for His glory. So He can get the most out of these vessels of clay. Because let's face it, man, listen, every day we live, we're getting closer to our mortality. If the rapture doesn't occur, one day you're going to close your eyes and they're not going to awaken. What are we going to do in this short period of time? I don't know about you. I want to do as much for the Lord as I possibly can. I want to win souls. I want to serve in the kingdom. I want to help out in this area. I want to help fix this up. When we come into God's house, it's like, man, this ought to be better than my house. I got to make sure because, you know, I've never ever seen a vacuum cleaner just by itself, just go around. I've never seen stuff just happen by itself. It always requires some hands. Whatsoever your hands find to do, you do it with all your might. As we close, I listed at our church before every department I can think of. And I said, let me just put an I or an O next to every one. This is how we can really be real and measure what we're doing. The I stands for something that's internal, what we do inside. Don't have too much of an impact outside, impact. The O represents what we're doing outside. Man, after it was all said and done, whew, it was too many I's, not enough O's. Let me also look and just see of all these auxiliaries, let me see how many men I have over top of these departments. See, I don't mind being, even if it's embarrassing, I'd rather bear the embarrassment and then do something about it. Okay, this department. Okay, woman. That department. Woman. This department. Woman. This department. Every significant position in the church. Every significant department in the church. Headed by a woman. Well, I'm sorry. We do have one remaining department, maintenance. I've had sisters come to me and say, Pastor, you want me to start that rites of passage program for the men? I've had sisters come, Pastor, you want me to start this program? It's like, I really want to, but it's like, give me another minute. You know, I think we can, because I think if we can just have a real spiritual revival. If we can get to the place where as men we just simply say, Lord, the first thing I need to do is repent. I need to just simply say, Lord, I am so sorry for not being all that I know I'm capable of being. I'm so sorry for letting you down, letting my church down, letting my pastor down, letting my women down. I'm sorry because I need, and until I see this change, I'm not going to fool myself into thinking that there is change. Change is not change until it's changed. Until you change the things that need to be changed that should have been changed a long time ago. And when I can then measure this and know that I can count on you, there's no change. I don't want to give this responsibility to you and say, Pastor, I got this. I got this. And I give it to you and turn around and, well, you know, I didn't have folks. A brother had been with us for many years. I wanted to make him over the evangelism department. He says, in all due respect, no thank you. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. You know, I don't feel led. Where's a number two pencil when you need one? Because you won't feel led in a minute. I mean, you got, I'm sharing with you realities that we can affect change when we want to. When we realize I am leprous. Man, my attitude is like a leper. My inconsistency is like a leper. I need healing. I need a touch from the Lord because without it, I'm going to die with this thing. And man, when we get that honest with the Lord, when we're willing to just simply say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It ain't my mother, it ain't my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. When we get that way with the Lord, he says, okay, just like the church of Ephesus, you had a whole lot, you got a lot going, you got some other great areas. But when you leave your first love,
my God,
you're building on a shaky foundation. So we all have to return back to our first love. Man, something about that first love. Something about that first kiss. I got engaged at the age of 18. Got married 3 days after I turned 19. And when the preacher said, you may now kiss your bride, that's the first time my lips ever touched. So you know nothing else was going on. And I can still remember certain things. But that's my wife today, 37 years later.
Right now.
I ain't trading her in for nothing, man. Listen, I'd be like the songwriter. Oh, girl, I'd be in trouble if you left. I don't know where to look. But I don't want her carrying my load.
Yeah. There you go.
She got a real man.
Come on.
She got somebody that's leading the pack.
Come on.
She's got someone that's going to guide, guard, and govern, provide, and protect.
Amen.
She She got it good. I got it better. But you see what we're saying? This is where we are. Living soul or quickening spirit? The living soul is just, he looks like. The quickening spirit becomes just like. Father, we thank you for these moments in your presence. We thank you for that which we have heard. We thank you for what you're speaking to each and every one of us. We sense your presence. We sense your conviction. We know the areas where we've been indicted. We know the areas where the light has shined so bright that we can ignore it no longer. Help us. Let there be a significant revival that sweep the land when it comes to black Christian men in particular. We can shake off the vestments of slavery that have programmed us thus. We can get rid of those things that have caused us to be stagnant, complacent, fossilized almost. Help us, Lord God, to have such a burning desire for change that you begin to bring the various things to us that heretofore we would have never seen without that desire. Help us, Lord God, to spend our waking days thinking about how we can bring glory to the house where you have planted us, to where we can further the vision, where we can help hold up the hands of the man and the woman of God that you have placed over us. Help us, Lord God, in these fleeting moments to do all that we can possibly do. So when it's all said and done, when someone eulogizes us, they'll say, man, this person kept the faith. They fought a good fight, but moreover, that they finished their course. We want to finish everything you have assigned for us to do. So we thank you now. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.